This morning, folks, if you have your Bibles and would like to open them, 1 Kings 17, and then we will read 41 through 46 of 1 Kings 18. This morning, as we come, we've been looking at the prophets and the priests and the kings, and so we're looking at Elijah this morning, his ministry. And folks, as we take a look at Elijah and his ministry, I don't know about y'all, but I see a whole lot of me of what I would have done, not what Elijah done. I'll put it that way. Not me and Elijah, but what I would have done versus what Elijah done. But I would have complained a lot, first of all, but Elijah didn't. And I want us to stop and think, folks, he is being sent to King Ahab. And the King Ahab is worshiping all kinds of gods, basically Baal, but he's worshiping things that he shouldn't be worshiping. And so Elijah says, I'm fixing to come to you, Ahab, and I'm fixing to show you and your people exactly who my God is. My God, he controls everything. Well, how would you make somebody believe that? If they're worshiping all kinds of gods, and that's basically what we're seeing today, we're seeing all of our leaders and different leaders of the world worshiping all kinds of gods besides the true God. They're basically worshiping the God of power. And so we see this, and we ask ourselves, you know, how could we get their attention? Well, we had the National Day of Prayer. I did participate in that this week. And that was Thursday. And one of the things that one of the ministers said was he had his congregation was every day at 150, they were praying for our nation. One nation, 50 states. 1:50 p.m. every day. They stop. They desire that you stop whatever you're doing. Lift up a prayer for our nation and for our leaders. And that we may, you know, come back to God, that we may realize that it is God that has all power over everything, and especially each one of us. So Elijah, he's going to Ahab, and he's going to tell Ahab exactly what's fixing to take place. Now, Ahab, if it was normal, he would say, Elijah, I'm not paying you any mind. It's not going, the rain's not going to shut off because that's your God and your God has no more power than my God does. But Elijah said, this is what's fixing to happen, Ahab. So we start in the 17th chapter, 1 Kings 17, first verse. And it says, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, now where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. Stop and think about that right there just a minute, folks, before we continue to go on. Now, he's sending Elijah to the Kereth Brook, and he's going to be living and camping there and hiding in the reeds and all the things that's right there at the brook. Yes, right now he has water to drink there at the brook. So he's going to send the ravens in to feed him each and every day. Now, that's a God of love, first of all. That's a God that takes care of our needs. But if I'd have been Elijah, I'd have said, if it's all right with you, don't send me a raven. Don't send me a buzzard with my food in its mouth. I'd just soon you send me a sparrow. You know, I'd rather have a little morsel than to have a big morsel of what that thing's going to have. Those things are nasty. And they was nasty then. Everybody knew they were. And so you got to stop and think about this, because the Lord said, because they are hunters, they're ones that will look for the food, they're the ones that will find the meat, and they will bring it to you, Elijah. How wonderful is that? If you stop and think about it, God uses everything and everybody, folks. He uses everything to his advantage. So basically, a raven's not a whole lot different than a buzzard. So that's what you're seeing here. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside the Kereth Brook east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in a jar and a little cooking oil in a bottle. In the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook the last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was also enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. For some time later, the woman's son became sick, and he grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son? But Elijah replied, give me your son. And he took the child's body from her arms and carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. And the Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Look, he said, your son is alive. Then the woman told Elijah, now I know for sure that you are the man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you. And then we'll just go ahead and read the end of 18 as well, 41 through 46. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. And then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. And finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. As soon as the sky was black with clouds, a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. And the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see the reading of God's word, we see so much here in this scripture of Elijah being the prophet. And like I said, had God assigned me to be the prophet, I'd have been complaining to God. God, let's do something besides these ravens or these buzzards. Let's do something different here, you know. Y'all ever feel like that? Sometimes God does things to us and for us in his own way, and we're saying, look, Lord, I don't need it this way. I need it my way. You know, I'll take that that blessing you have for me, but I want it my way. I don't really like the way you're trying to present that to me. And that's what we do, folks. But Elijah, he listened to the Lord. And the reason he listened to the Lord was he had a personal relationship with the Lord. A personal relationship. It's offered to each and every one of us, folks. This personal relationship is there for us to have. But if you accept this personal relationship, if you desire to have it and it grows stronger and stronger each day, then the Lord may be like he did to Elijah. He may ask of you something that you sure won't like. And how will you respond? Will you go when he asks you to go? Will you do whatever it is he asks you to do? Well, Elijah responded. He went down to the brook. He camped out there. He lived on what the ravens brought him until the water dried up. And then he told him to move on to the village of Zarephath, where he'll find a widow. Now, you're talking about faith. Elijah had lots of faith in the Lord. He knew his Lord. He knew what the Lord was capable of doing for him. He didn't waver. He was straight on with the Lord. So he was pretty blunt with him, with the Lord, when the boy dies here in a few minutes. But he is straight on with the Lord. And so we see that he moves on to Zarephath, to the widow. But the widow, the Bible tells us that the widow had been instructed by God to feed him when he got there. Now you stop and you think about the faith that this would require from this widow. She's got a son. And this son and her, this is her life. Yet she knows that if something doesn't change, if something don't change, then she's going to dry up the meal and the oil and the things that she needs are drying up, and her and the son's going to die. And so when Elijah gets to her, the faith that Elijah had in her taking care of him, he went on to the city, to the village. And so he's at this village, and here this lady is, and he says, I need a little water, and I need a piece of bread. And she says, but Elijah, I swear to you, I don't have any bread. I don't have anything. And I've only got enough to make just a little bit for me and my son. And she says, then we'll eat, and then we will die. And Elijah says to her, fix me some bread first. Bring me some water and fix me the bread first, and you will have plenty. Faith, folks. Faith in what God is telling us. Faith in what God tells us to do every day. You can't imagine, folks, how many times in a week that God is telling me, I know I'm supposed to do this. I don't really want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do it my way. And it's so hard. It is so hard to have the faith that God's going to take care of you in this situation. Y'all ever encounter anything like that? When God's telling you, he's speaking to you? So many times, folks, if we don't have that real close relationship with the Lord, then we don't hear him, do we? We just know this don't really feel right. I think I'm supposed to do this, but this don't really feel right. I don't think the Lord's in this. He wouldn't be telling me to do this. That's totally out of my character. So I know that's not me he's talking to. He's talking to somebody else. And therefore, a lot of my stuff don't get done that the Lord asked me to do. Sometimes, folks, I don't know. I don't know why that I'm asked to be here or be there or do this or do that. I don't know. but I just feel that I need to be. You ever feel like that? You need to be here or you need to be there for someone? Sure you do. And when you have that feeling, then it's up to us to respond. God is trying to tell you, I need you there, Mike. I need you to be there for this one or that one, or stop and visit this one. And you know, Layla, I did go to the doctor Friday, and I did get a checkup, so he said I'd be here till the Lord come to get me. I knew that before I went. So that was, you know how that is. But anyway, you know, the one thing that I didn't do, we talked about a lot of stuff. This guy was real good. He was a new doctor I hadn't seen. He was filling in for my doctor that's out for a visit. But the one thing that I didn't do, and I've regretted it ever since Friday, I didn't talk to him about the Lord. I didn't ask him if he was a Christian. I didn't get into that discussion with him, but I should have. And it's been on my mind a lot ever since Friday that I didn't. So that should have been one of my first questions, but it wasn't. So you see, folks, you regret a lot of times when God puts things in front of you. You don't do it. You don't live into it. You don't do the things that you should. But I do regret that. But there's so many times we have the opportunity to witness. We have the opportunity to serve others. We have the opportunity to do lots of things. And we just don't do them because it might make you feel uncomfortable. So, therefore, it doesn't get done. But anyway, Elijah, he had the faith, and the widow had the faith. Now, can you imagine this widow after she's fixed this meal for him or fixed this bread for him, and she goes back to fix the bread for her son and for herself, and she finds that there's plenty of flour, plenty of meal, plenty of oil left. She's thinking, well, mercy, where did this come from? She's thinking, he told me this was going to happen. This is the God. This is God. This is the Lord seeing after me. He's taking care of me. No, it's not 100% the way I expected it to be, but through Elijah showing up, he's taking care of me. Can you imagine how she must have felt? You know, I don't know about y'all, but I've been in lots and lots and lots of circumstances throughout my life where the first thing I wake up and think about is, you know, the Lord is taking care of me. This is the Lord working in my life. This is the Lord. No other reason. This is the Lord. And I hope that maybe you don't have to go through some of the same things that I've had to go through, but I hope you have the opportunity to recognize that this is the Lord that is providing for you. And I hope your faith is strong enough to know that this is the Lord that's going to take care of you. The Lord is going to watch over you. The Lord's going to bring you back to where you need to be. And the blessings that he will have for you during this time will be most wonderful thing in the world, but they may not be exactly like you would have had them to be brought to you. So you have lots of opportunities, folks, through the things that we live through. The things that Elijah and this widow is living through is making such a wonderful testimony, such a wonderful testimony, that it's wrote right here in the scriptures, because it's not the way that they'd like for it to be. The Lord had shut the heavens up because of the sin that they had. Israel sinned, the sin that the kings and everybody else was worshiping the wrong gods. Folks, today, that's where we're at. We're worshiping the wrong gods. We don't worship the gods that we're trying to worship. That being from the house you live in, the car you drive, to the bank account you have, you don't worship those. They're all gods. Everything belongs to him. You don't own a thing. I hate to tell you that. You don't own a thing. It's all God's. The air you breathe, everything is his. But yet we get so wrapped up in what's ours. And we get so wrapped up in what we're going to do and what we're going to do with our time and our money and everything else. And folks, it doesn't belong to us. And this is what we're seeing here with Elijah and the widow. But then her son gets sick. And he don't only get sick, but he gets worse, and then he dies. Can you imagine how she must have felt? What kind of God have you brought to me, Elijah? Why in the world would God be punishing me? Is he punishing me for my sins? Is he showing me the things that he's done to that I've done? Is this all of this because of me? What is it, Elijah? Well, prior to this, no one had been raised from the dead. God had not raised anyone from the dead. But as you look at this, you see that he takes the boy upstairs to his bed, and he lays on him and lays over him and prays on him three times. And the boy is revived. And to me, I believe there's another place where someone's raised from the dead on the third day. Y'all ever think about that? Third day. The number three, you think, well, why did it take three times? I don't know. But I do know that it was three that he done, and it was three that Jesus was raised. You know, there's a lot of significance in a lot of things in this Bible, folks. Lots of them. And so when we hear the things that's being said and done, if you continue to look throughout your Bible, you will see it. It will come full circle. There's some references to Elijah all throughout the New Testament. James and Revelation even. You will find Elijah. He was with Jesus on the mountain. And Peter said, you want me to build three shelters for Moses, Elijah, and you, Lord? He said, no. So he was there. So we know that Elijah, really and truly, we don't have a lot of history about him before, but he was a true man. He was a man just like we are. A lot of people will tell you that he was probably an angel that was sent by God. No, he wasn't an angel. He was a man. I truly believe that. He was sent to do just exactly what he's doing, to tell Ahab what's fixing to happen to the country, what's fixing to happen to this nation. And he was there for the widow. He was there for a reason. When the widow's son got sick, then his faith, his ability to heal, his connection, his personal connection, which was that alone is the miracle that we see here with the connection to the child being able to be raised from the dead. It was because Elijah was tied to God so close that he was like God himself. And so, are you that close to God? How close are you? How close do you want to be to God? You know, you have to ask yourself, how close do I really want to be to God? Because if I continue every day to work and trying to get closer to God and trying to understand God, how close do I really want to get? Probably not that close. You'll find a happy medium in there somewhere. And that's how we usually work. But he raised the boy from the dead, and he gave her back to his mother. And we see that it was after he had stretched out over him, as we said, three times. And the woman told Elijah, she said, now I know for sure that you are a man of God. The Lord truly speaks through you. So folks, we see that she's coming to believe that this is God. He is present in my life. He's working through Elijah. He is truly a man of God here that God has sent to me to take care of me through this drought. And so she is totally understanding more and more every day about the events that are taking place. So many times, folks, in my life, I don't know about yours, but so many times in my life, I did not understand the events that were taking place in my life. But a year, 5, 10 years later, I look back and I see the events that were taking place in my life were totally God working in me. It was the trials. It was the things that he had put me in, the places he had put me, that he was working with me, working with me to come to understand him more and more, that I might be able to come to know and understand that God is there for me every day, even when I think there's no way, no answer, God is there. He's there for you every day. I hope every one of us know and understand this. A lot of times we face many things, and we wonder, where are you at, Lord? I don't see you, I don't hear you, I don't feel you. You know, one time I was so sick, I had that infection in me, and they told us at Vanderbilt that if they tried to take it out, that it would kill me. And I said, well, it's got to come out because I'm going to die within a few days anyway. So you go ahead and take it out and try to learn something from it. And if I'm dead, I'll be fine, you know. Because, it didn't really matter. And they thought we was crazy when we told them that. But I was fixing to die anyway. So it really didn't matter whether it was this week or next week. It was just, it needed to be done right now. So they did, and ended up they got it out. And got me cleaned back up, and I've been good now for several years with it. So that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. They done something that they thought they couldn't. But I'll never forget, folks, when I got ready to go into that surgery, me and Tammy were there that morning, and Brother Harold Stricker come up. He drove up, and he said, Mike, can I pray for you before you go into surgery? I said, sure, Brother Harold, I'd love for you to. But you know the one thing I noticed, folks, and it bothered me so much, I really couldn't pray for myself. You ever been to where you really couldn't pray for yourself? I really couldn't. I try to get close to the Lord before I went into that surgery. I wanted to pray with him, and I wanted to be close to him. I wanted to feel his presence. I really couldn't, and that bothered me so much. And Brother Harold prayed for me that morning, and I went on into that surgery, and I'm thinking, I don't mind the dying. But, Lord, I just want you to know that I want to talk to you about this. I want you to know, you know, that I may be coming to see you. He already knew that. I didn't have to be telling him all that. He knew everything that I was trying to tell him. And I think that's one reason that I could not pray for myself, because I was trying to tell him things he already knew. He said, Mike, I got this. I already know. I know what you're going to tell me. But it was good to have someone to pray with me and for me. But I noticed how distant I felt from the Lord at that given moment. And when I woke up, I never woke up in a room like I was in. And I asked that nurse, I said, ma'am, am I dead? She said, are you dead? She said, I don't reckon why. I said, well, I've never been in a place looks like this in all my life. She said, you're in a sterile room, dude. You're not dead. I said, am I dying? She said, nah, they didn't tell me nothing about it. I said, all right, that's a good deal, I guess. I guess I'm good to go. But, you know, when you've been told that you won't wake up, most likely you're not going to, then you feel like maybe I am dead when you wake up somewhere like that. Everybody was in white. But so we see, folks, that a lot of times, I know this widow must have felt like, God is not with me. God is not with me. I don't know what I've done to him. I don't know why he won't hear my prayers. I don't know what's going on. But he was working through Elijah. And she come to know and realize that. And she knew then that God was who he said he was. We look at the tail end, and just for a short moment, we look at the 41 through 46. And we see that Elijah is telling his servant to go and look. He goes to look seven times. And he, as he looks seven times, he sees the seventh time a little cloud about the size of his hand, he says, brewing. And Elijah told Ahab, you need to go on and get prepared, eat you a bite, get prepared, get on the chariot, head home. Because if you don't, the rain will stop you. It's 6 miles, and we see Elijah, he's getting, I'm late. And we see Elijah, and he's getting excited. He's saying, I got to go too. So he tucks his robe into his belt and he heads off. But folks, this is something I want you to look at right here. Elijah ran ahead of Ahab. He was like, he was running ahead of him to make sure that things were safe. It looks to me like that Ahab would have stopped and he'd said, Elijah, it's 6 miles, get in the chariot with me. But he didn't. He didn't offer him a ride. He didn't offer anything. But in doing so, God had given him the strength to make that 6 mile run and stay ahead of Ahab. And in doing so, it showed us how God, how Ahab was humbled, how he, by the way that Elijah was running in front of him, he had to have been humbled. Elijah had to humble himself before Ahab. And Ahab was humbled by the way Elijah took care of him. He knew. Ahab knew all the way back for 6 miles. He knew that this was Elijah's God because of the rain that was coming. He was believing Elijah. It's coming, brother. And he's headed home. He's not questioning it anymore. And we know the other miracles that went on to follow this. And so it was the beginning of Ahab accepting the fact that he's worshiping the wrong God. It's the beginning of Ahab building a personal relationship, hopefully, with the Lord. It's the beginning of lots of things right here, folks. But the main thing is the people recognize that God is God. And I hope today that you know that God is your God. He loves you. He loves you so much. He will provide for you. It may not be the way you'd like it, and you may want to argue with him some. And that's okay, because Elijah said to him, why, Lord? Why would this boy die after all of this? It's okay sometime to ask God why. But you got to know God has this. God has everything in his own hand and his own time. You know, it's all in his time, not ours. And that's what we have to know and what we have to understand. But folks, I do want you to know that he loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die upon a cross that we can have everlasting life. No other love. Nobody's ever showed you that kind of love. So we're not going to die. We may die. We may leave here. We're not going to die, though. I'm just changing addresses. So feel that way about it. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy this life here. But live as close to Jesus and have that personal relationship that he offers each and every one of us. And you will be so happy of what you will see. The closer you live and the closer you draw to him, the more you will enjoy that sweetness of that love and the joy that he has for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.